7 of Matthew chapter 2, he sends them secretly off to Bethlehem, verse 8. Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word back to me that I may come and worship him also. The devil's a liar, isn't he? And so we have a representative of this liar manifest in King Herod. He did not even want to come and worship. He felt that his throne was threatened, and it was a horrible thing that he did, wasn't it? So, Father God, I just would ask that from this moment on here right now, Lord, help me communicate some of these truths that you have placed within my heart. Let us look, Lord God, at these three gifts and get some spiritual meaning. And spiritual meaning that can be applied to our life, Lord. A revelation, Lord God, of you, God the Son, coming to earth, living amongst us, dying on our behalf, raising from the dead, returning back to your position and being seated again, but with a body. That you were not just willing to come here and take on a body and to live a life like we do and experience life like we do, but you were ever to be confined to a flesh and bone body again, as we are, as we have. You who were eternal, you who were spirit, that did not even have a flesh and bone body, now eternally, as the representative of mankind, the perfect man, the God-man, that we have one to look to. We will always look to you. As the book of Revelation says, Lord Jesus, it refers to you more as the Lamb than any other reference. We will always know throughout eternity why we're there. And we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your sacrifice, your willingness. Your willingness to vacate heaven and walk this planet as we would have to face things on this planet. Everything. It says you had to experience somehow everything that we face so you could identify with us and bring a salvation to us, bring a healing to us, bring a help to us, bring a comfort to us. And we thank you so much, Jesus. And we love you so much. And if we could just say from our hearts this morning, thank you, Jesus. We could really spend the rest of this time just saying thank you and worshiping you. Amen. Because you are due our worship. Amen. Oh, Lord God, we love you. Help me communicate this morning those wonderful things that you've been communicating to me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes revelation, I don't know what you think of people who get ready and get quiet before the Lord as what that looks like. Sometimes people think that I seclude myself in my office and just spend hours and hours, which I do, in prayer. But sometimes revelation comes when I'm walking my dog. Because I'm out there walking my dog and I'm listening, I'm communing with the Lord. And wherever you find yourself, you can be communing with the Lord. He can speak truth to you. Revelation can come to you. So don't ever just think it has to be one location or one spot. Because one of the truths of this time of year is Emmanuel, which is God with us. So is he with me when I'm walking my dog? And is he with me in my office? Yes. So he's with us. But why is it that we say, oh, I'm coming to church to hear from God today? What about the other 106, let's say if we're here for 2 hours, 168 hours, the other 166 hours? How about your dreams? Can God speak to you in your dreams? And some of you, I know you don't even want to tell me your dreams, but that's okay. God can even redeem them, can't he? So let's go ahead and just pick this up over here in Matthew chapter 2. Pick it up in verse 9 here. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east, and you heard me say last week, they saw it in the east and it went away. It's not like some of these movies that it went before them and they followed the star. No, they knew it was a star that represented the king of the Jews, and so they knew that they needed to go to Israel, and when they went to Israel, they went into Jerusalem, and now the star has appeared again. Went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I think some of you need to get some of this contagious, exceeding great joy. Sometimes I think we're stuck too much in our cement Christian boots. Verse 11, and when they had come into the house, not the stable, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child, and I shared with you last week, he could be all the way up to 2 years old at this time. It says, when they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, as you know, that they were going to need some funds to go on a journey. Because King Herod, when he found out that he was slighted by the wise men, he sent soldiers to Bethlehem and slaughtered all the children that were 2 years old and younger. They get a word from an angel of the Lord, Joseph, to take the young child and depart and go to Egypt. That will require funds. That will require money. Okay, so in the natural, which we look at first, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh would be all the provision that they needed for their travel and their sojourn in Egypt until they were quickened once again by the Lord or by the angel of the Lord to return. So God even had a provision through these wise men that they would be taken care of in Egypt all the way up until their time of returning home. But we also know that there's spiritual truth that God wants us to see. There's something that God wants us to pay attention to here in gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As most of you know, if you've studied typology at any length of time, that gold refers to divinity, to divine life. It can refer to the divine nature of God, the divine life of God. But it also means kingly. It also means a king. It refers to a scepter also, and a king rules with a scepter. So gold can represent the divine life of God. It can represent the divine life of God within us also. It represents the kingly ministry of Jesus, the position he once occupied even before he took on flesh, that he left heaven, came to earth, and the seed of him was placed into Mary, and he was and she conceived and was born the God-man, God taking on flesh. So that's just real quick right there for gold. Frankincense. Frankincense. Frankincense is usually taken from the tree or the bush, depending on what you read. And it's usually an incision that they make in it. And it bleeds a white resin. Okay? And when that resin is taken, it is also used in perfume. It's used in incense. It has a very sweet smell. And it also represents the priestly ministry of Jesus Christ. It represents that his life here on earth, that we see that Jesus came to reveal what? The Father to us. If you just put up for me, Guy, let's start with John 14:6, and I'll just read down through to what Jesus, to answer Philip's question. John 14:6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Next verse. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Now, wait a second. Did God come and did God the Father leave heaven and come up here? Or is Jesus so one with the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? When you see Jesus, you see the Father. Next verse, please. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. In other words, show us the Father, and it's enough. We'll be satisfied if you just show us the Father. Next verse. Jesus said unto him, Have I been with you so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So how can you say then, show us the Father? So we have a ministry of Jesus here on the earth, God in human flesh, and he represented God to the people and the people to God. He was our true priest. He became high priest after his resurrection. He truly represented all of us. He showed us what the Father was like. You see, when you also look up this word frankincense, and when it means white, it talks about his purity. That everything that he walked through in life and faced everything in life, he never deviated into any impurity. He always stayed righteous as he is righteous. Every choice, now just imagine your life, every choice, every decision, every interaction with people, no matter what was done to him or how he interacted with others, never was wrong, never was improper. He was God's representative. He was God the Son representing the Father here on the earth. And so when we see the God of the Old Testament, and then we look at this Jesus walking the earth, we really see the true character and nature of the Father and the Father's love that he has for every one of us in the priestly ministry of Jesus Christ. Even when Jesus was cut, even when Jesus was bruised, even when Jesus was maltreated, it says that his life was a sweet aroma unto the Father. You see, because the next one is what? Myrrh. Myrrh. Myrrh was used as an antiseptic. Depending on which tree you got it from or where that tree came from, it would either be yellowish red or dark red. Interesting, huh? So that when you cut or beat that tree, a reddish color would come out. Myrrh also means bitter because it was bitter. Did not Jesus experience the bitterness of our sin for us upon himself? So we see here that this speaks of Jesus' role as Savior. It speaks of Jesus' role as Shepherd. John 10, Shepherd. The Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And so we see here that he tasted of death, as it says in Hebrews chapter 2. He tasted death for all mankind, so that we don't have to taste the sting of death. Did you hear what I said? So we don't have to taste the sting of death. We will all taste of death. But the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, death has lost its sting. It no longer has a power over us anymore. It no longer has a dread. If there's anybody here today that you're afraid of dying, then there's Jesus here today by the Holy Spirit that will give you peace. You never have to be afraid of death anymore. It says, and let's just put up this verse here so everybody has a reference for this guy. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Now this he here is Jesus. Jesus also likewise took part of the same. In other words, he lived in a body like we have. You ever get tired? Does your body ever, you have hard days work and you want to get to bed early? He got tired. See, he had to live life as we do. He had to have a body just like us to be able to identify with us, to be able to take our place. He had to experience life as we experience life and yet never blow at one time. But what does it go on here to say? That through death he might destroy. Now remember the Greek word for destroy. It's the Greek word luo, which means to loose, to undo, to untie. So let's look at it this way. Let's read it like it says. That through death that he might loose, untie, undo him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what? If you are afraid to die, you're in bondage. Jesus Christ came to give us life and life in its fullness. The gift of God through Jesus Christ is what? Eternal life. So that we have assurance. You have every one of you here today that are believers in Jesus should have such an assurance that your last breath, as the Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, not to be afraid. We don't go to a place of purgatory. We don't go a place of, if we didn't finish it here, we go to another place and finish it there. And hopefully somebody on this side may purchase us out. Maybe purchase some less time. That's foolishness, everyone. I got a picture one time of eternity. I got a picture of an elevator. And the moment I died, I was in the elevator, and I looked down. There was only two buttons with two arrows up and down, and the button was already pushed.
Hallelujah.
And guess what? Up, going up. Everybody here, hopefully you've got a going up, and you know you're going up. Amen? And when I first had that dream, I was like, oh, you know, even in dreams, you can sit there, where's this going? You know, you're sitting there acting yourself and you're having a dream. I love dreams. I really do. If you don't love dreams, come up and get prayer afterwards so you can. So we should not have a fear of death, okay? A dread of taking our last breath. We should have a confidence because our confidence is in the one who has secured for us eternal life. And your confidence is in him. So the last one there, myrrh, bitter, reddish, representing blood. So that when he was bruised for our iniquities, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Bruised for our iniquities, chastened so that we could have his peace. When he experienced all these things, he reviled not, he threatened not, he rebuked not. He just continued to take on himself what we all deserved upon ourselves. He died in our stead. He experienced the condemnation and suffering that we all deserve, but by his grace that has been given to us, we don't have to anymore. Isn't that absolutely wonderful? You don't have to sit there and wallow in sin. You don't have to sit there and put up with sin. If you blow it, repent and ask God's forgiveness and let that blood, let that myrrh, that representative of that blood, let his what he suffered be applied to you so you don't have to. You see, when you look at these three gifts, it talks about the king coming to earth. If we look at it, gold, frankincense, myrrh. So we can look at the King Jesus leaving his throne, being placed, which blows our mind how this even is able to happen, to be reduced to a seed that fertilized Mary's egg and then grew to a child after 9 months and then came into the world. Isn't that just, oh, the greatness of God, the wonder of God. It just absolutely blows our mind. So that we see that when he walked here on earth, we see his priestly ministry here. We see him, as it says in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. He had good news. Christianity shouldn't be... Well, sometimes our Christianity looks like we've just eaten a lemon or a lime. Yeah, and sometimes that sour taste reflects on our face. Okay, not that we're not going to face things, not that we're not going to go through things, but we have one that identifies with us in the things that we face and go through. So we are not a people without hope, we are a people with hope. And we have to realize that no matter what you go through, no matter how dire the circumstance, no matter how great the pain is or the suffering you might be experiencing right now, there is one who has suffered for us. He came, and we see his priestly ministry, relieving suffering, healing people. Which is it easier for me to say, rise up and be healed, or your sins be forgiven you? So we have right there the one who is going to make that which is wrong right. That which was introduced into the human race because of Adam and Eve's choice being undone by the Son of God. And you've heard me say this before. The Creator had to come and take on flesh and die for his creation. It's the only suitable sacrifice. The only suitable sacrifice that there was, because all of mankind was tainted. There wasn't a person that could ever live pure because we are what? Conceived in iniquity. There is that nature that we have within us over just a short period of time. You can see that even in a small child. I didn't even have to say no. All of a sudden, don't touch that. And the head, 18 months old, the hand is looking at you, reaching out to grab. They can't even hardly speak. But yet they know to do something opposite what you're telling them. Hopefully that's not the way with those Christians. And so we have this wonderful Savior who came and represented God to us. And we have one that identifies with us. And so we see God the Son coming and taking on human flesh, being that priestly minister of God to us, relieving sickness, relieving disease, saying your sins be forgiven you. I don't know about you, but I love that. Just think if we still had to carry all this garbage. But we have one who carried our garbage for us. He took it all on himself for us. But he also took the pain and suffering of it all. You know, there's a passage, I believe it's in Isaiah 52. It says his visage, his appearance was so marred that it was even disgusting to look at him. You almost wonder why God turned out the lights for a number of hours. You know, when he was hanging there on the cross. If I can't look at him, I don't want anybody else to. You know, so he received upon himself our due and just punishment. He took it away for us. And so we have this one who identifies with us, who wants to bring help, who wants to bring healing, who wants to bring comfort, who wants to be the one who is right there with us. That's why his name is called Jesus. 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 Issus in the Greek, in the Hebrew, Yahshua. Really talking, the first part of it is Jehovah, Shua, Jehoshua, Jehoshua. That's why it's called Joshua, Jehoshua. Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is healer. Jehovah is preserver. Jehovah, or God, is deliverer. God is helper. God is restorer. Any of you need some restoration? Anybody here that you know that also might need some preserving? Preserving, what do we call? You know, when I was in the Coast Guard, we used to throw a life preserver out when people were in the water drowning. Do any of you or know anybody, especially at this time of year? There are some people that aren't here today. You know why they're not here today? This is not a good time of year for them. Because this time of year represents pain, represents difficulty. It's not a time of exceeding great joy for them, but it can be. It can be. When the truth and life of God touches whatever was introduced into their life that they don't like this time of year, can completely turn it around, and they can be just like the Magi, have exceeding great joy. And so we have this wonderful Savior that came this way. But if we look at those same ingredients and we look at these gifts and we go the other way, then we take it from the cross, the myrrh. We take it what Jesus experienced and took on himself on our behalf and then died and 3 days later resurrected. And the Word of God tells us with this nice lovely music that's playing. The digital world we live in. You know, if anybody needs ministry to that, just bring it here and I'll step on it. I'm just kidding. I mean, would I be willing to do that with mine if it went off? No. Oh. So there's a scripture here in Hebrews that speaks about what Jesus did after that resurrection. So we're taking it from myrrh now, and we're going back to frankincense. We're going back to purity. We're going back to what speaks of righteousness, what speaks about the very ministry life of Jesus. And it tells us right here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, but Christ came as high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. Now listen to this. With his own blood, where did he go? After he resurrected from the dead, what is it saying here that is taking place? Something in the unseen realm, not seeing the natural man. There's something taking place in the spirit after Jesus resurrected from the dead. And it says, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. How often does he have to do it? Once for all. Who is not included in all? You see, the sacrifice of Jesus was for every man, woman, and child on this planet. whoever was, whoever is, whoever will be. But of those alive on this planet, they have to be partakers or believe the truth of the gospel. Amen? And so it says right here that his blood was taken to what? The most holy place, the holy of holies in heaven, once for all. And what did Jesus do? Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Let me drop down here also. Since we're in chapter 10, let me go here. Where is that, Lord? Okay, let's go to 10. And let's pick it up at verse 12. But this man, speaking of Jesus, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, what did he do? Sat down at the right hand of God. So we go from the sacrifice, the myrrh, the bitterness that he tasted on behalf of all mankind to redeem mankind, and the third day resurrected, and now he is high priest, not just here on this planet representing himself as priest, and we're seeing the very demonstration of God and the kingdom of God through the life and ministry of Jesus. Remember, it was the high priest who once a year, on the Day of Atonement, took that blood, and only once a year were they allowed to go into where? The Holy of Holies, and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. To what? For the forgiveness of sins for the year, for the people. And it says he entered there once, obtaining an eternal redemption for us. So Jesus not only becomes high priest with his own blood, and accepted frankincense, pure, holy, without spot, righteous. So it is now accepted, and then he's able to sit down. And where does he sit? He sits at the right hand of the Father, and we're told in Revelation 19, he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he goes right back up to his rightful place, the word gold, the first gift that was given, as king now over all kings, as Lord over all lords. And all will bow their knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's pretty cool, huh? So we see that kind of a ministry going on there. What's really cool about it also, that we come to know Jesus Christ because we acknowledge that he was suffered on our behalf. He took our sins upon himself. Myrrh. Do you not believe that also? And you know what the neat part about it is? That his righteousness, his frankincense, is attributed to me. That I can become, because of the blood that was spilled, I can become a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. Isn't that really nice to be able to? Now let's take it back the opposite way. I am right with God because of the myrrh ministry of Jesus, or the sacrificial pain, suffering of Jesus Christ, that he took everything that I deserved upon himself so that I could be released from it. Remember the color of myrrh, yellow, reddish, or dark red, representing his blood that has covered all my sins, removed them, redeemed them. When it's redeemed, it's gone, folks. When you've accepted Jesus Christ, from that moment on back, gone. Okay? When something is revealed to me now, I confess it, I repent, and I'm released. But remember this, it was taken when Jesus died on the cross. That's when it was spilled. That's when it was taken. Okay? I'm just acknowledging what he already took 2,000 years ago, now being applied to my life. Amen? And so, as that, what does it say? The last verse, guys, 2 Corinthians. 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, speaking of God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. See, you, in order to know, to be able to put these right words in there, you have to know the context of this. So this is exactly what it's saying. For God has made Jesus to be sin for us. Who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. Jesus never committed any sin. Is that pretty neat? Who knew no sin, that we might be what? Made the righteousness of God. Frankincense is white. It represents purity. When you're forgiven and you're free, God looks and sees you as pure as Jesus is pure. That's mind-blowing. That is absolutely mind-blowing. Sin cannot appear in the presence of God. Covered by the blood, accepted by God, Jesus' own righteousness. Matter of fact, I think it's Romans chapter 5, verse 17. You have been given the gift of righteousness. It's your gift. Treasure that gift. But not only that, we're also told in 1 Peter, or is it 2 Peter, chapter 1, that we have received of his divine nature. Gold. I have received of his divine life. What was the very first gift that it speaks of? It says that we can be what? The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It represents the gold and purity of God. And in Revelation chapter 1, you are called kings and priests unto your God. Let's see if that's Revelation 1:5, please. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that what? Can you say Jesus loves me? Jesus loves me, this I know. For what? The book of Revelation has just told me so. And what? Has washed us. Washed. Washed us from our sins. When God washes, you're not going to be able to see the stain anymore. It's gone. It's gone. Isn't that nice? Heavenly bleach. The blood of Jesus makes us clean. Washed us from our sins in his own blood. But what did he make us? Kings and priests. Next verse here. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. What do we need to say with that? Amen. Amen. So we take it in the reverse order after we come to know Jesus Christ and being given the gift of eternal life, been given the gift of righteousness. And God sees us as joint heirs. Joint heirs with God, with Christ. And so doesn't it also say in Ephesians chapter 2, we have a seat in heavenly places? See, we're not the king, but we do have a kingly authority that we're supposed to operate in. We are not the high priest, but we are priests of God. Jesus is the high priest, and he's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. He wants us to be representative of himself like he was when he walked this earth. But also for us to use the authority of Jesus in a proper and right way as kings. When I am engaged in spiritual warfare, or prayer, or intercessory prayer, especially against something or when somebody needs to be free, I'm exercising my kingly authority in the name of Jesus Christ. There are the other times when it talks about our priestly ministry. We should be those hands and feet and eyes and lips of Jesus, where we're healing the broken heart. We're showing a person how to come out of their prison, where we're helping them have eyes to see things that they never saw before, the truth that God has for their life. And so we need to be part of the kingly ministry, and we need to be part of the priestly ministry of Jesus. And you need to learn how to operate in both of them. In both of them. So we can see these wonderful gifts here that are Jesus coming to us, and Jesus' life demonstrated here on the earth, and his sacrifice and his return, giving us the opportunity of hearing the gospel, hearing the good news, and embracing the cross, and embracing the blood, and having our lives changed to where we put our faith in him and become children of the Most High God, and get imparted his righteousness, and get imparted and receive his gift of eternal life. So we see Jesus coming, and we see Jesus going in these three gifts, and we see ourselves accepting what Jesus Christ has done, and in our role there, and then the king, priest, roll back here on earth. We've taken it from gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because it says he gave us an example that we're supposed to follow. In other words, when life gets tough, when suffering gets put into our life, when we find ourselves in a tough place, when it says in order for that resin, that myrrh to come forth. When Jesus was struck, how did he respond? How did he react? How do we respond? How do we react? All Paul told this to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. all who live godly in Christ Jesus will experience persecution. You're going to have your taste of myrrh. Life is just not going to be easy. There's going to be difficulty comes. But are we going to do it the same way Jesus did? Are we going to live it the same way Jesus did? It says he gave us an example to follow in his steps. So if Jesus was able to do it, you can also. Because the same life in him now dwells within you. The same righteousness in him dwells now within you. Amen? And so when we see these wonderful gifts that these wise men have bestowed upon him, do we also say, thank you, Jesus? Do we also find ourselves falling down and worshiping him? Do we also this day and every day have a life that we can look to him in faith and have exceeding great joy? Because whatever your sorrow is, he can turn it to joy. Whatever your difficulty is, he has the answer for it. Whatever prison a person may find themselves in, he has the key to that. Click, click, open it up and you can come out. Do you know that? If there's something you're not seeing, something you're not getting, he wants to give you revelation so you can get it. All this that these wise men gave revealed Jesus to us, and Jesus going back to the Father, us coming to Jesus in our relationship with the Father, and then our relationship back with people here on this earth. He wants you to take the time and go over some of these things and let them become real and alive to you, to meditate on them. Like I said, I was walking my dog yesterday, and the Lord was showing, see Jesus' ministry from heaven to earth, and see Jesus' ministry from earth back to heaven, and see your life when you accepted and allowed the blood of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ to come into your life, and how you received the righteousness of God and the gift of eternal life, and now how I'm using your life to minister to others, to bring them to the cross. And I thought, oh, wow, that is pretty cool. I looked at my little doggy. Let's go for another walk around the block. Revelation will come if you want revelation to come to you. God will speak, and God is speaking if you allow him to speak to you. God is present. One of the promises is Emmanuel, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And when you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you've the mystery that was hidden from the ages, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you've asked for God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, you've got God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling inside of you to lead and guide you into all righteousness, to teach you everything that you need to know to be taught for your life, to be a living demonstration of Jesus' life. Wow, this is exciting, folks. This is the life that we have. And it should be an exciting life. It should be a freeing life for everyone. We never have to stay in bondage. None of us ever have to stay in bondage. Because Jesus' name, it means Savior. It means healer. It means deliverer. It means rescuer. It means preserver. And it also means to give you the victory. In other words, when it says to give you the victory, everything that Jesus overcame when sin came to him, his victory over sin, the flesh, the devil, no matter what the circumstance was that he got victory over, that same life is available to you. That same victory is yours also. So that no matter what life deals to you, you have been given not just his character, but his power and ability to overcome also. That's exciting. That is exciting. We just don't sit here, as I said a couple of weeks ago, get saved and hang on. Hang in there, sister. Hang in there, brother. Till Jesus comes for you. Well, we just got to get on in this old world here. No way. Now, we're to be moving on. We're to be demonstrating the life and ability and love of God. But in order to demonstrate, you've got to receive. You have to experience. You can't give what you don't have. And there's still, like I said, when the Lord's been teaching me on precept, principle, and person, he wants us just to get past just knowing what the Word says, experiencing what the Word says, and getting to know the person from where it came from. And there's a lot of people haven't got to that number three yet. A lot of people can confess it. It's working in some of your lives, if not most of your lives. But he's wanting to bring you into a place of more intimate fellowship. A John 17:3 experience. Let's go ahead and put that up. John 17:3. This is Jesus in his prayer to the Father before he is arrested in the garden. And this is eternal life. This is eternal life. That they might know you. And he's praying to the Father that they might know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. See, it has to get to that third part there. A 1 John 1:3 experience. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And you know, it was just like today in intercession. You just get to sense just the very presence of God. See, God is here right now. God is the good news that he's here right now. You're not alone. You don't have to be alone. That's one reason that we've been doing this on Christmas Eve now. This is 2 or 3 years. Christy and I used to just sit at home and watch Star of Bethlehem? The Nativity movie. That was our Christmas Eve thing that we like to do. And so we said, you know, why don't we just invite people that want to come out and watch it with us? And so we did that. But we want to have a fellowship. We don't want anybody to be alone. We don't want anybody just to sit there in the doldrums. Anybody who's alone, you don't have anywhere to go, come out tonight. Come on out and have some fellowship. Come on out and change your Xmas and put Christ or Jesus back into it. And get together with Jesus-loving people so you don't have to sit there and have the tears come down, but you can have that frown turned upside down and have a smile there because you're fellowshipping with the body of Christ. And so we don't want anybody to be alone. And so if you are alone or you find yourself alone, come on out. Sit down and fellowship with some people here. Amen? Isn't this a time where we should be getting together? It shouldn't be a burdensome time. It shouldn't be a drag time. It shouldn't be a time, I can't wait for this to be over. Some people, you know, after all the hustle and bustle and going out and buying this and doing all that, they just can't wait for tomorrow to end. Why don't we look forward to coming together and breaking bread and having something to eat and just enjoying one another's company. Now look at this motley crew here. Now, some of you don't want to call yourself motley, but I want to tell you, outside of Jesus, before Jesus, okay, no matter how good you may have been in the flesh, you were still sinners in need of salvation, right? Now, look at this group of people, diverse background. Let me just say diverse background. Diverse background. Look at this group here. We're not coming together pointing fingers. We're not coming together to look down. We're coming together to love and to share the love that we've experienced from Father God himself. So some of you have family that you get together with. Great, wonderful. Look for opportunities to share this wonderful gift of life. Look for opportunities when someone says, well, what are these three kings? Well, number one, they weren't kings. And let me tell you who they were. They were Gentiles in search of truth, in search of a king. And those gifts that they give, let me tell you a little bit about those gifts and what they represent. Where Jesus came from, how he lived on this earth, and what he did to secure our salvation so that we could experience that salvation and his righteousness and that divine life and ever be with the Father. You see, something very simple like that, how long did something like that take? Who read that passage this morning from Colossians? Who's up here? Was it during communion? Somebody read that passage. Frank, you read it in intercessory prayer. Frank read a passage in intercessory prayer in Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 or 4, where it refers to Paul asking for a door of utterance be given him for the mystery of the gospel. And then him saying, pray that utterance would be given to me when it's given. Opportunities are always provided for us because we pray for opportunities. But do we pray for the boldness? Do we pray to be used when the opportunity presents itself? or do we find ourselves clamming up? We don't need to clam up. We need, if you're anything like a clam, you need to have it wide open and just be ready to speak. Be ready to give that exceeding great joy. Amen? Well, Father God, I just thank you for this morning and for this time of year. We thank you so much for Jesus. Tradition said he was born this time of year. We don't know. Some say in the spring. Some say in the beginning of summer. But we do know he was. And so we just choose to celebrate this time of year, Lord God, in recognizing the great love that you had for humanity, for mankind, to save us, to redeem us, to bring us back to yourself, to know you not just as God, but as Father God, as Abba Father, to realize, Lord God, that in Jesus Christ, we see you demonstrated. We see your love demonstrated, the life and ministry of Jesus, even the sacrifice of Jesus. And his resurrection back to your right hand is a place where you want all of us to be, Lord God. All of us brought back home to you. Man, that's good. And you are good, Lord God. And so we thank you this morning for that which we have received in you. Teach us to treasure you, Lord God. Teach us to treasure your life in your presence. Let us not be sleeping Jerusalem, but let us always be seekers more of you, always moving towards you, always desiring to grow and become more like you and to become one with you, Lord God. We thank you for our time here this morning. We thank you for your great love to us. We thank you, Lord God, that we can lift up our voices in praise and adoration to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's a song that I'm going to play right now. I believe Chris Tomlin's singing it, and it's called Adore. And if we could just all stand up and just adore him, please. Amen. If you want to stay seated, you can. If you want to sit, you can. But let's just worship this before the Lord right now. God.
angels sing, praises ring to the newborn King. Peace on earth, here with us, joy awakening. At your feet we fall.
Joseph. And both of them, it was revealed to them that his name would be called Jesus. Isn't his name beautiful? What a beautiful name. And I would just like to sing together this Hillsong song, What a Beautiful Name. What a beautiful name. Go ahead and play that, please, guy. Praise you, Jesus.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise his name. Praise his name. Praise his name.